How's it, everybody? Welcome back to another episode. You're here with me, Nick. And as always, I'm joined by my buddy Ronald over in España. How's it going, Ronnie?
Yeah, buenos. It's going buenos.
I see that the Spanish Duolingo is making a comeback today.
Yeah, my horse is an architect. I learn that all the time.
Oh, Ronnie, so like a weekend here. We missed you in Pretoria this weekend. You know, we had a festive one out at Loftus Versfeld. Can I tell you, we got there at about 1:15, right, to go into the stadium. Stadium only supposed to open at 2:00, which it does. We were thinking we're going to get a table at the beer tent. Did we get a table? Absolutely not. It was packed to the rafters in that stadium. We ended up sitting on the grass to watch the first half of the Springbok game.
Yeah, well, that people are excited in Loftus, and it's very rare that Loftus packs out, but for a Springbok game or for a big final like that, you know, it's going to attract the whole crowd, the whole of Pretoria.
Yeah, so 50,388 people in those stands was a massive, massive amount of people. And I feel like 99% of those rocked up to watch the Springbok game. I don't know if you saw those videos on the Bulls pages or even ours, the drone footage showing how many people turned up for that. It was incredible to see. And Laka to sing the anthem with everyone. It was a good practice for the Irish test there next weekend.
So super packed Loftus for a URC final. How does that compare to super packed Ellis Park for a Springbok game?
Oh, it's incomparable. I didn't have any skin in the game other than some chirps to dish out at the office on the Monday morning. But had it been the Sharks, maybe I would have felt a little bit different. On that note, Sharks only team with any silverware in South Africa this year. Just putting that out there.
Yeah, but keyword being silver.
Yeah, Ronald, well played, well played. But let me tell you now, we're at Loftus. It's not yet the Springbok game, and they put this musician on, Early B. I'm not sure if you know of him, Ronnie.
No, unfortunately not. I'm not hip enough to be squared.
So Early B comes on the stage, and he has a song called Skit Your Biscuit. So this song's
going. He's an Afrikaans person.
Yeah, he's an Afrikaans person. So. Here comes the song on, and I had such a laugh. There's a granny in the dance floor there, and she takes out her cell phone to film this, and she's filming this video to this song. I'm like, she's probably sending this to her grandkids, and they're having a lack of chuckle at what gran's busy listening to outside Loftus.
Skit your biscuit.
And then we had a good laugh at what happened to you at Loftus last year. Do you even remember the seagulling, Ronnie?
No, what happened?
When you were sitting at the
table, I'm shocked. Like, what is this?
Eating your chips. And that oak just walked straight past, hand in your chips, and walked on. He didn't even look at
I remember that. I was picturing some seagull that took my food, but I do remember that. That was the end of the night, though, so you can give me for not remembering it.
Yes, we had a good laugh at that this weekend again. What did you get up to?
Yeah, I work. I sleep 6 days a week. I work, and then I watched a bit of rugby, obviously, at the end, the back end of Saturday, and then watched all the highlights and the catch-ups on Sunday. So. All in all, I'd say a successful weekend.
No, lacquer, man, lacquer. And then just a bit of a laugh for all the listeners, because I'm sure some of them will spot it on the television. But I'm going on Kom Ons Braai this weekend to compete there with some guys for the title of Braai Master.
So explain how that works. Is it like random couples?
Yeah, so for guys from overseas, it's like come dine with me, where you go to people's places and rate their meals and all of that. It's just the braai version. And I'm pretty sure I'm the first English person that's ever going to have been on this show.
But are you going to have to go to their playhouses as well and eat
Correct.
Their food?
Correct.
And socialize with these random people that you don't actually know.
And trust them to braai my food.
But it's not all happening on one weekend, is it?
It is. Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So it's three teams, and each team gets a day to host the braai. I don't know how I got myself into this, but you know what? The Soti's going to walk away with a prize here.
I really want to know when this is. We're going to advertise it. We're going to watch Come Braai with Me.
No, Kom Ons Braai. Get it right, man. Proper Afrikaans here for the show.
Sorry.
So, Ronnie, we have a Super Brew pool going for the June Internationals. Everyone, you guys can join it there with the pool code DEFJOBS, DEAFJOBS. Come compete there, and maybe we can knock Ronnie even lower than the 100th place finish he got in the URC or the IRC.
That's rubbish. We're not talking about that, are we?
We're not even going to entertain it, eh?
No.
Ronnie, then first final for the weekend, so a competition we haven't paid too much attention to other than giving the Crusaders a bit of stick. was the Super Rugby final. So the Blues were at home. You know, they've dropped out in the final stages a number of years in a row now, but they got a 41-10 point win over the Chiefs. Well done to the Blues.
Yeah, this one kind of blew me away. Of course, the Blues have been doing well this season, but that's a blowout in the final. I mean, you don't really want to see that in a final. But yeah, look, if you're a Blues fan, you're obviously very happy. But oh, Chiefs, what happened?
Yeah, losing two finals in a row, the Chiefs now. So they won't be happy with that return. A Caleb Clark hat-trick, very impressive to get that in the final. But like you say, the lopsided score is not something you want to see in a final like this.
Yeah, I think it speaks to the fact that New Zealand rugby is very disjointed or not, isn't in their rhythm at the moment. They've been disrupted a lot. I think it speaks to the level of competition that Super Rugby has in the last couple of years. It's maybe not as competitive as it used to be. I don't know. I don't know what to make of this.
Yeah, it's definitely questionable. And then, I mean, Patrick Tuipulotu getting man of the match. But if there's any lesson we can take from this game, it's from Harry Plummer, you know, the fly half for the Blues. He got 7 out of 7 kicks off the tee. That's 16-point contribution. And that pressure can be what made the Chiefs cave in, you know. But Ronnie, something we do need to chat about in this game, and that's Rico Ioane's comments post-match that a Super Rugby title means more than a World Cup.
Yeah, well, if all I could win was a Super Rugby title, I'd also claim that.
Yeah, I think that's a good bit of stick there. But I also think it must be taken within the context within which it was said. You know, you're on a high. You've just won this trophy. Yeah. It means a lot.
Yeah, of course. It's obviously most of these things are throwaway comments somebody makes. How do you feel? Oh, look, I feel incredible. This is the best I've ever felt. I feel better than the World Cup. And then somebody goes out and says, Rico said this is better than the World Cup, which he most likely did not. So look at it in the context that, like you say, pinch of salt. But yeah, still, it's definitely nothing. Nothing is better than winning the World
Cup. Yeah, we know. We've had 4 experiences in our lifetime, Ronnie, just in case anyone was wondering.
Experts in winning the World Cup.
Ronnie, then we're going to jump over to the URC final here at Loftus. But I just want to know, do you want to break it to the listeners or should I?
That you finished 615th. I'm more than happy to tell everyone that you finished 615th.
You jumped at that opportunity, hey, Ronald. You had
615. I can't even count to 615. That's so high. I don't even think that 615, that is so incredibly high on the log. You're basically closer to the back end than you are to the front end.
Yes, listen to these claims here now. Listen.
Whereas me, I'm in the top, I don't know, like there's only a handful of people. I can count the number of people in front of me on 2 hands.
Yeah, but you wouldn't be on those 2 hands, Ronnie, because you are not in the top 10. Boy, what a weekend.
Yeah, well, look, there's a big difference. Look, unfortunately, I didn't finish in the top 10, but I did finish 11th, right? And you finished 615th.
Just taking the chance to remind everyone. No, it's true. I clunked in this season. Well done, Ronnie. I will give you credit where it's
another
due.
One
did not come in the top 10.
More credit again.
History will not remember you.
Anyway, so the winner of the URC, Peter Letoy, he pulled a rabbit out the hat there and jumped 5 bloody spots, which is something very difficult to do in the back end of the competition. And Peter Tutoi, aka Papers, jumped all the way to first, jumping 5 spots. So Peter, well, bloody done.
Yeah, and I think Peter also came top 10 in the world for this tournament. So very, very well done to him. Great to see guys playing in our pool, making it that far up. Really, really like it to see. And that was a big pool this year we had, Ronnie. So guys, come and join us for the next set of Super Brew. It's really, really like it in there. And we enjoy playing with all of you and competing with you. And now for the internationals, it's going to be even better. Ronnie, Bulls went down at home in this one, 16-21 against the Glasgow Warriors. I had Bulls by 12, you had Bulls by 9. Were we too overconfident for this game?
Yeah, we definitely were. But look, I don't think it was actually too unrealistic. I think we were confident, sure, but we were not arrogant about it. Maybe you with double-digit score. That's just who you are. Look, you expect the Bulls to win at home. You expect an altitude. You know, we always talk about 1,350 meters. It matters. And it usually does. Teams struggle to win at Loftus, and the Bulls have a good track record. So we have to give the credit to the Glasgow Warriors. You know, they deserve to win because they played bloody well. And they didn't just play well in this final. They played bloody well in the games leading up to the final. So all credit to them.
Yeah, exactly like you say, Ronnie. It's not actually just the final because they toppled the Stormers in the quarters. They then toppled Munster, who everyone was expecting to host the final, and then came to Pretoria and toppled the Bulls. So two away games on the trot and justified champions in my mind. A huge shout out to the team and a huge shout out to Franco Smith. He'll be very happy with that season.
You're right. It's an incredible feat. 1 from 12 number of losses for the Bulls at Loftus. So it's no easy feat to come over to Loftus and win. The Bulls have never lost a final as well. So, you know, that's just the reality of it.
No, that's for sure, Ronnie. Glasgow really, really played very well. And I don't think anyone can take away from the game they played. Their attack impressed me so much. And then in the end stages of the game, under so much pressure to hold strong on defense, absolute deserved champions. And I tip my hat off to them for sure. But there's a few moments in this game that deserve a bit of a closer look, because it was 13-0 to the Bulls at one point, you know, and you see that, you think it's at home, the crowd's now buoyed up, the Bulls are just going to power on. But my assessment of this is the Bulls missed Willie LaRue bucket loads.
So they definitely, I think, missed that experience, and especially in the back three, like you say, Willie LaRue particularly. And then a number of their key players just also letting them down. You know, their playmaker, Johan Klaassen, what was happening there? It just all went like, you know, came out running at 100 miles an hour for the first 30 minutes, for the first half, in fact. And then in the second half, to only be able to score three, you know, it's absolutely shocking. And then Glasgow just, you know, scoring 21 points after being 13-0 down. Yeah, I'd love to know what Franco Smith said at halftime.
Yeah, I would also love to know, because you're right, that leaves 3 points for the Bulls in the second half, which is shocking. And, you know, the Bulls did lose Cam Hanekom, who was the hero of the semi-final as well, which had an impact on them with Nizam Carr coming on in about the 48th minute. But that's not enough to change a game. Glasgow were reduced to 14 men. They still managed to defend. But Ronnie, the tactics that the Bulls deployed in this game. So we see them now deciding, right, we're going to kick for touch and go for tries. But time and time again, that Glasgow pack stopped their rolling ball. They couldn't get it going. The only try they did score was via Marku Eskom van Staden. And then you see them turning down kickable penalties, which is normally within the Bulls' DNA. You know, we're not going. And Ruan Okia himself saying, you know, he should have taken that one to bring it up to 21-19. Then you're in with a drop goal. But again, go for touch. Johan Klaassen doesn't kick it out. And suddenly you've lost control of a game on your home turf.
Yeah, that's a decision that a very experienced rugby player will make. You know, 6 minutes to go. You've got a kickable penalty. You know, what do? You go for the corner? And us fans, we often shout, go for the corner. But the smart move in most cases is kick the 3 points and then, you know, come within the opposition half and win a penalty. It's as simple as that. Then you've got your 6 points and you're out in front. So, or you're in extra time at the very least. So my dad often says this. I'd love to know where it actually came from. Kom gelijk in Dan Venon. So first, get even, and then win the game. So I always thought that's very crucial. Take the points on offer. You know, this is finals rugby. Every opportunity counts.
Yeah, it really, really does. And I mean, the three opportunities that Glasgow took, the tries for Scott Cummings, George Turner, and Hugh Jones, perfect tries. Really, really like it to watch. You know, I was really impressed. I have all praise for Glasgow after this one. And I also think it's quite lacquer, Ronnie, to see that in the 3 years of the URC, you've had a South African team win it, an Irish team win it, and a Scottish team win it. So it's really showing the strength of competition and what each country is really bringing to it, because you're seeing the winners changing, which is exciting. It keeps fans from different countries interested. And, you know, the URC is really a product that I'm quite a big fan of.
Absolutely. I genuinely believe it's the best competition we have out there. Yes, people will call for the top 14 or the Premiership. Premiership final is very exciting. But the URC is cross borders, it's cross country, it's even cross hemisphere. But, you know, that's what makes it exciting. It's the most international domestic competition we have. And, you know, you bring the best of Ireland versus the best of South Africa versus the best of Wales versus Italy and Scotland. But yeah, a Scottish team goes on to win it. So that's impressive. And it just speaks to what quality that competition really is.
No, for sure. So big up to Glasgow, and then a man of the match performance for flanker Matt Ferguson. So all praise to the boys from Scotland, well-deserved winners. And the Sharks will be after you next year for that title, lads. Ronnie, then we go over to the international game where the Springboks returned to face Wales over in Twickenham. a good crowd turnout outside, but a 40.
How good was it to have the international rugby back before we get going?
Yeah, let's be honest. There's nothing better than international rugby, because now everyone you talk to out on the streets, you know, grabbing your Seattle coffee in the morning, wearing a Bok jersey.
Did you watch a game?
Yeah, it's really, really lucky. So
you're so lucky where you are, where I am. They're like, ¿dónde está de partido? And then I'm like, I have no idea what you're saying.
Yeah, no, Ronnie, you're going to have to come back then for the international season now. 41 points to 13 win for the Springboks over Wales. But the scoreline not really showing the full story from that game, Ronnie. Let's just take some interesting talking points, because we all know this was a bit of an experimental side. Yes, there were a lot of big name players in the team, but also some debuts. So I'm curious, Ronnie, out of the four guys that got to debut this weekend, being Edwell, Jordan, Sasha and Ben, who was your best debut?
I think overall good game, Edwell, of course. But I think the person who seized his moment, his one shot, his one opportunity, Sasha.
Yeah, that kick from Sasha was really, really impressive. Hey, but Edwell's double tackles, that was really good. And then the try as well.
That's true.
Edwell.
No, you're absolutely right. Edwell, a double tackle where there was, you know, he played the role of two fullbacks in that moment. And I thought that was excellent. But yeah, like I say, based on the team selection that Rossi makes, and made Sasha Feinberg and Gorma Zulu, wow, step up to the plate and kick an impressive amount of in kick, a 50-meter kick like that. There's not many of us that can do that.
No, absolutely not. Well, I know you can't. I mean, I might be able to. Ronnie, then an impressive return to test rugby for Apalele Fassi. He was plucking those eyeballs out of the air like he was about to go to the Olympics for it. You know, he was really, really impressive.
Yeah. And I agree with you there. That was a very impressive performance by Apalele. You know, he trusty under the high ball. And, you know, that's what you want from your fullback, right? So, you know, his yellow card, I thought he was unlucky with that. Touch and go, I think it was. He did intentionally lift that leg a second time, though. So, you know, I think he knew what he was doing. But, you know, very soft yellow card, but yellow card nonetheless.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to look at what happened with Jordy Barrett in Super Rugby one or two seasons ago. I can't exactly remember which game, but he was also in the air and put his foot out. And he, I believe, received a red card for it. For me, Fassi doesn't make contact with the face, so that's probably why it's not escalated to a red. But yeah, guys taking this one on heavily on social media, that's for sure. But
to me, it just looked like a bit of unnatural secondary movement from Apalele Fassi. When you're coming down like that, there's no real reason to lift your leg again, which is what he does do. But, you know, it was very soft. So, yeah, a bit of a gray area. You could interpret it both ways. So, look, I think yellow card was fine.
No, I think it's something we would probably classify as a rugby incident. You know, that's probably where this fits in. But, Ronnie, the best comment I've seen on the socials so far has been, awaiting World Rugby announcement to ban wingers that wear scrum caps, because we just keep chucking them out there. Binna Beta, see you later. And someone's looking for their ankles.
I find it incredible. What is it with these little wingers that play with these oversized scrum caps? But yeah, and they're definitely not just little. They are powerful units. And Edwell van der Merwe, just another one to add to our list. Very impressive.
Very, very impressive for sure. Also, lucky to see Yaku Paper there with Tony Brown and Jerry Flannery in the Springbok coaching box. They look like they were having a lack of time, especially during Sasha's kick. So good to have them on board and coaching the box.
I'd love to have known what the topic of conversation was during that moment.
Yeah, well, it was probably Jerry and Tony's initiation that night into the box coaching staff as well. Popped their cherry in the green and gold.
Yeah.
Ronnie, Damian Dialende also making a huge impact when he came on. I do feel, though, that Jordan Hendricks have probably struggled a bit in this game to release Andre Esterhazen, and Damian and Sasha had some familiarity having come up in the Stormers structures, not really having played together, but they linked up quite nicely. And like you say, Sasha really took his chance. What did you make of Jordan Hendricks in this one? And also noting he hasn't made the cut now for the Irish series.
Yeah, it's obviously very difficult. It's your first game. There's a lot of nerves. You know, it's a big step up. And then to step up into your first game, to play a very destructive team like Wales, you know, a negative team, a team that likes to, you know, do to us what we as the Springboks usually do to other teams and break your team. It is a difficult game to have your debut. And it's probably an easier game if if you play against the likes of Scotland or even Australia or somebody like that to have your debut against them. But Wales are going to make things very difficult. There's going to be a grind. It's not going to be pretty. And it's just, that's most likely what's going to happen if you're a young thing coming into the Springbok setup. That's probably what's going to happen. I wouldn't say that it was a dismal performance. I would not say that at all. I'd say he coped pretty well. But yeah, maybe just the rod of the dice didn't roll his way.
Yeah, I think you can say he coped as well as probably anyone would with a debut at fly half away from home. You know, most guys tend to make their debuts coming off the bench when the match is a bit settled. But yeah, definitely not a write-off game for me either, Ronnie. One thing, though, that interested me in this game, Wales struggled. You know, they didn't have the firepower to break through the Springboks, but they did manage to contain us for a large period in the game. You know, we started very strong, and then Wales really contained us. I mean, at 60 minutes, it was 24-13. But also, if you look at the Springboks game plan on the flip side, our game plan is always we're going to batter you into submission for the first 50 minutes, and then we're going to start running things and pushing where it hurts, you know?
Yeah, look, we're also a very defensive-centric side, right? We do well without the ball. So you know, that's it. So I think we, in this preseason, we would have practiced our defense until we were sick of it. And, you know, saying that, you know, you first got to stop the other team from scoring before you can start scoring your own points. So I think that's probably what's happened here. Our attack wasn't maybe as potent as it can be. And that's fine. That's the first game of the season. It was good that we had this test outside the test window. And yeah, so look, let's see what we can do against Ireland. I am a little bit concerned about Ireland. I wonder if there's enough time to become a little bit more effective on attack.
Yeah, I think it's going to change a lot. And, you know, we ticked the boxes we needed to in this test. I'm sure Russia and them will be satisfied with it. We are going to chat about the squad that's been selected for the Ireland series after we've done the weekly news, Ronnie. And so guys, stay tuned for that. But let's just take a look then, Ronnie, at what's gone on in the world this week. And I had a really good laugh at this first one. Was England beating Japan 52-17? At what point is Eddie Jones going to stop talking shit in the media until he's actually got some wins behind him again?
No, never. No, we know this now, that this is part of his modus operandi. He likes to keep the media attention on him if he can help his players out. So he's never going to do that. We mustn't forget that, right? Yes, he is a big talker, but there's method behind his madness. So look, he's never going to stop. He's never going to shut up. He is a bit of an arrogant prick, and we enjoy that.
Yeah, I think there maybe used to be method to his madness, but at the moment, he's struggling to dish up any results. I mean, saying you're going to push England right until the 80th minute and have your chance to win it. You're Eddie, 52 minus 17. I'm no mathematician, but that's not close, my friend.
No, you're not a mathematician.
Ronnie, then the Barbarians getting a lack of 45-32 point win over Fiji. Sam Whitelock's retirement game, so cheers to an absolute goat of the game. But also disappointing to see sides not releasing their Fijian players for this one, but releasing them to play for the Barbarians. That's not acceptable.
No, that's exactly the point, right? The French sides would not release the Fijian players, but did release the French players playing in the same league. So that is definitely unfortunate. Look, it was still a fun game. I was a little bit disappointed in the end result because I was getting the margin point, and then you stole the margin point from me in the end there.
Not get used to it, buddy.
Whatever, Mr. 612,000. So yeah, look, my favorite moment from the game, Shota Hori retires with 100% kick success.
There we go. What a milestone. Ronnie, you know, we also now take a look at all the internationals coming up. So Scott Barrett, he's been named as captain of the All Blacks, and five uncapped players named in that squad. So New Zealand beginning their rebuild there. I was actually expecting quite a few more, but it seems like quite a few players of these came from the Foster era as well. Fabian Galtier.
Why is Scott Barrett being the captain? What do you think?
Hard as nails, definite starter.
Crusader.
Yeah, can tell what's Moustache Man from Oz to shush it when he needs to.
Moustache Man. Yeah, no, look, I was also wondering, because I would have liked Adi Sevilla, but obviously his stint over in Japan makes it a bit disruptive. So yeah, they've opted for Scott Barrett. Interesting. We'll keep tabs on that.
And I hear actually through the grapevine that Adi's quite a shy person. Maybe Adi's also not the ideal fit. I mean, we see he's an excellent rugby player. But, you know, that doesn't always translate into being a great captain. still part of the leadership group, whether that's true or not. I mean, it's what I've heard. Ronnie, then we're going to just quickly look at Fabien Galthié, because he's now upped it from 19 uncapped players to 22 in his squad. And that, honestly, it's ridiculous for me. Galthié, you're not going to win a World Cup this way, my friend.
Or maybe he is. Maybe he's the madman that's going to say, look, I blooded all these players, 22 of them back in the day, and here we are, 2027.
Yeah, well, or you're throwing them to the deep end and you do what happened to Carter Gordon, where he's actually not keen to play the game anymore. So, Kirkley Beale, he's gotten a call up to the Wallabies again. It honestly feels like I've been thinking of Kirkley Beale since I played Rugby 07 or Rugby 08 on the PC back in the day.
Look, I also don't know what's in the water there in Australia, because the old players, Matt Gitto, I'm waiting for Matt Gitto to get his call up. But yeah, look, Kirkley Beale, I agree with you. Old man on the block. He's been playing for a long time, and now he's back in the picture. Yeah, maybe James O'Connor also gets a shot.
Yeah, true. And old Pantofel. Ronnie, so a lot of international rugby coming up. There's many more tours and games going on than this, but the major tours, Wales is off to Australia. They're going to be facing the Wallabies as Joe Schmidt gets his tenure underway. England are off to New Zealand. That's going to be a massive fight out there for Borthwick and Robertson. And then Ronnie, France off to Argentina. And obviously we have Ireland coming to South Africa. So should we quickly take a look at the squad there?
Let's do that.
So I don't think we're going to name all the players in the squad. If you guys want to check that out, you can go onto our socials. It's up there. You can find it all. But four uncapped players in the Springbok squad, Ronnie, which is lucky to see Rassie doing that. Some forced due to injuries. Others really have put their hands up. So great to see Johan Grobbelaar and Jan-Hendrik Wessels getting a call up in the front row. We have Pepsi Buthelezi from the Sharks called in for backup at 8. And Morne van den Berg, the surprise for me, the Lions scrum half making the cut.
Yeah, I think, look, I looked at this. I haven't read any articles about it. Obviously, it hasn't been out for too long yet. I thought I would come and record the podcast without having been influenced by any articles or whatever I've read or whatever. And I'm pretty surprised by how incredible our depth is. I'm happy with this squad. I don't think that there's a single player here that I think needs to be in here. It's a no-brainer that he should be in there. And is, you know, there's obviously one or two I'm like, okay, well, they're giving him a chance with Jan-Hendrik Wessels. You know, I'm glad to see Johan Grobbelaar getting his shot. Pepsi Buthelezi, you mentioned him, but no, that's just talking about the forwards. I'm not too interested in the backlines because we know forwards, so we don't care about all that.
Yeah, and then great to see big name Springboks and Chesn Colby and Lucanio Ambing declared fit, so they've been named in the squad as well. Good to have them back. Andre Pollard, Jasper Visa, both named there. Jasper's not eligible at the moment because he's still serving his ban for a high tackle, but Andre probably going to be the starting 10 as we head into the series against Ireland. A return for Sia, Akia Sneyman, Kirkley Aronson, and Vili. So, you know, some big, big names from the World Cup there. The only World Cup guys I'm missing are through either injury or retirement, other than Marvin Ori at the moment. So, Edwill van der Merwe has been retained. Ben Jason Dixon's been retained, as well as Sasha Ngomazulu. So great to see guys from the Wales game following through into the squad as well. And then quite a few placed on the standby list, Ronnie. So Jean-Luc Dupreer, Adweba, Hendrikse, Vilku Lowe, Ulrich Lowe, Sia Masuku, Njotling Fashier, Ethan Hooker. I mean, you know, these guys are all on standby and probably will get a call up to face Wales. Portugal, when they head down to Bloemfontein. And then, Ronnie, only an injury cloud hanging over the squad is Faf de Klerk. He's injured his quad. And then Mapimpi with a hamstring injury. So, yeah, pretty full squad there. And then, obviously, Luit Diaga still suffering injury in Japan.
One more as well is, Rassi mentioned that Edwill van der Merwe has also picked up a bit of a niggle, but he should be okay.
Also true there, Ronnie. And a big name I almost forgot here, Steven Kitsoff.
I thought you were going to say Quibus Reinach. Like, there's actually a lot to talk about in the squad, but I'm very happy to see Quibus Reinach back.
Yeah, Quibus Reinach back. Sean Klein, also another one missing through injury. So quite a few big names actually out of there. In comparison to the Irish squad, also missing a few big ones. But I'm very happy with this squad as we look to face Ireland. I think we've got the players to do it.
I think we're very blessed, right? I think a lot of these players are getting a shot. I'm glad to see a whole bunch of them. And then, like you said, there's a number of injuries, right, that would just come and bolster the strength of the side even more. So, look, we're in a good position, and it's going to be exciting.
Yep, it definitely is, Ronnie. So, to wrap off the episode, we have the May Fokchom moment of the week. And I don't think it could be a moment of the week without it being the Glasgow Warriors and their big URC win away from home, silencing more than 50,000 of the Loftus faithful.
Now, I want to disagree with you. Can I disagree? Am I allowed to disagree? I'm not taking anything away from the Glasgow Warriors, but that was very impressive to come and do that over at Loftus. But, you know, if there was a man that impressed me so much with his seizing his one moment, his one shot, and kicked his way into the squad, it has to be such a fine move to call Masula. I'm so excited. That kick. Not many of us can do that. So I would like to say Sasha Feinberg, Komazula. And why don't you put up both and have the people vote which one was better?
All right, Ronnie, we'll do it your way. We'll pop up both and let people choose. I have a feeling our South African following is going to be a little biased on this one. Well, guys, that's it for today's episode.
Thanks for joining for the banter and staying for the chat. My fok chom. Dit was lekker.
Make sure you smash that like button and subscribe on your preferred listening platform so you won't miss a moment of the madness.
Catch you back here next Wednesday.